You have to be careful the older you get and not reminisce too much. It is easy to reminisce and think about the years gone by and the beginning. And it's good to do that sometimes because in doing that, you reflect on mistakes you've made and how that you could have done a better job in what you did. But it's always good to press ahead and to look to the future with a very positive outlook on the future and what the future holds in the Lord's Word. It is amazing that Dan just mentioned Williamston, South Carolina. Many of you do not know where Williamston, South Carolina is. It is an area that Mary and I love dearly and still do. And it is, as Dan said, the first place where I met Dan. I came up with a brainstorm because we had established that church for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were growing, and we had grown to the point that I thought for us we should have a World Mission Forum. We're right in the middle of the mission field. And in those days in the Carolinas, you could go in pockets of the Carolinas and you might find 5-10 counties that did not have a church of our Lord Jesus Christ in those counties. And I carried it to the men of the church, my desire to see us to have a World Mission Forum. And they said to me, "Robert, you come up with many great ideas, and we have never tied your feet. You think we can pull this off?" They said, "How can we pay these missionaries, such as Brother Parker Henderson and Brother Ira Rice and Brother Gordon Hogan, Brother Dan Jenkins and Brother John Wheeler, who had pioneered the work more or less in Ceylon, now Sri Lanka. And how can we have these men?" And I said, "Well, let me write them and see how much we should give them, because I have no idea." And I'll just be up front. Every single one of these men wrote me back and said, "If you'll just let us talk about mission work, we'll pay you." And I thought that was amazing that all of these men would come. Many good things came out of that World Mission Forum. Brother Jerry Westmoreland was overseen by the old congregation many years ago in Birmingham. It's called Roebuck Parkway. In those days, Dan, what was it called? Woodlawn, the old Woodlawn. And they pioneered that work in Belize. Jerry Westmoreland was their first missionary into Belize. And I don't know if this one's so good, but it is what it is. Mary and I came out of that workshop with a greater desire and a burning desire to spend the rest of our lives in a foreign land and in foreign lands and go on the mission field. And out of that workshop also came the oldest running, consecutively running, World Mission Forum or World Mission Workshop in our brotherhood. And it is the one that Forest Park hosts in Atlanta, Georgia. A lot of good things came out of that. And we give God all the honor and the praise and the glory. And it's all about what is said in Haggai 2, in verse 19, "And everything that we do in life, our very reason for existence, the heartbeat of the church, the very reason that we come and partake of the Lord's Supper, and the very reason that we have fellowship together, and the very reason that we give the way we give to the Lord, our talent and our energy and our money, And sometimes we need to just settle ourselves down and stop living in such a fast-paced world. And we need to look at some of the very heart-rendering statements and questions of the Bible. Israel has come back into their homeland, and they have really not put their priorities in the right places they need to be put. They're working. They're striving, and they're doing, I suppose, everything that they think they can do. But God moves Haggai, and I love these fiery preachers. They're not minors, they're majors. He inspires Haggai to write to Israel, speak to Israel, and say to Israel, is the seed still in the barn? And then he goes on to say that if you get your priorities right in this context, from this day forward, I will bless you. The elders here at Palm Beach Lakes touch my heart very greatly last year in the South Florida lectureship. They called a meeting of all the speakers. And they said to all the speakers, we're striving and we're working hard as we know to work as a congregation or body of God's people. They didn't say themselves, and I appreciated that. But they're up front leading, and I know that. And they said, but we're having struggles in growing like we should be growing and doing all that we can do. And many of those speakers expressed to the elders the same sentiment. And as Mary and I travel throughout the Brotherhood, especially in the eastern part of the United States, and even as going as far as California recently in a gospel meeting a number of months ago now, back in the spring, I hear that echoed over and over and over again. And I've tried to think about it and pray about it, and I can see that it seems like the challenge is bigger and greater, and the challenge is more of a challenge in every way than it has ever been before in the Pacific Islands. Where before it would take us maybe in 1973, 4, 5, 6, 7, up through the early 80s, it would take us maybe 6 or 7 hours to convert someone. Now it's taken 15, 20 hours to convert someone. It seems we have a bigger, it seems like we have a more of a struggle and a more of a challenge and a bigger opportunity to retain and stop them from going out the back door, so to speak. And so what is said to Israel here by God through Haggai, it should challenge us today to stop and ask the question, is the seed still in the barn? And I think we need to look at it collectively as a congregation. We need to look at it even individually, because whether or not the church grows really comes down to what am I doing to help the church grow. Maybe we've not thought the right way. And maybe we should stop and think that if we get our priorities in the right way, God has promised that He will bless us from this day forward. You know, maybe that's the problem. That we have not really gotten our priorities stacked in the right way. Maybe we're not really one heartbeat. Maybe we're not all on the same page. Someone says that's impossible. No, it's not either. It's not all impossible to be on the same page and have the same heartbeat, for we're one body. We're one body. And because we're one body, it would help us to have the same heartbeat and be on the same page and going in the same direction. The number one challenge is to get the seed out of the barn. We know that, and I believe that I'm speaking to a congregation that believes the seed, the Word of God, is in the barn. It's in the Word of God. It is in the Bible. That's not the problem. The problem is that we need to do all that we can do individually and collectively to get the seed out of the barn. Now, are we doing all that we can? The very question itself in Haggai 2 and 19, is the seed still in the barn, indicates at the very least that the seed is still in the barn. And God's saying, you need to take the seed and get the seed out of the barn. You need to stack your priorities in the right way. You know, the Bible will talk about this again and again. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6, Solomon would say, whether you sow in the morning or whether you sow in the afternoon or in the evening, you don't know which one's going to prosper. I remember getting very frustrated a few years ago. Well, it's been many years ago now. Back in the early 80s. And I got frustrated at God. I was trying to get out to the island of Christmas Island because I had a Bible correspondent course student out there. And he had many people ready to assemble together to study the Word of God. And I tried to get on the plane. I can usually get on something to get out to a place. I couldn't get on a boat. I couldn't get on a plane. I was going back to the hotel, and I caught myself pouting to God because I couldn't get out to Christmas Island, one of the outer islands. And I said, I just need to get my heart right and get myself right. And I need to pray about this matter, and I need to get on my knees. And brethren, literally when I got back to the hotel, I got down on my knees and I prayed to God and said, God, you know, maybe my heart's not right. Came up off of my knees and I heard a... And I went to the door and I didn't see anybody. There was nobody standing there. Well, I went back in. I said, what's going on? And I just sat down to read my Bible and try to work on my heart, being right with God. And I heard it again. It happened again. And I went to the door and no one's there. And I said, man, what's going on? I mean, I just come off of my knees praying and pouring my heart out to God. And then it happened again. Again, it knocked. But this time I said, there's some island brethren that are shy. And when I went to the door, I quickly looked this way and looked that way. And they were all plastered against the wall. The Ecuribus people are very shy. And later I would learn that the ringleader of these five men was Brother Battiri Teaka. And we studied for 14 days, every day, 2 hours a night. And these five men were the first five souls for God in all the country of Kiribati. Here I was trying to do like Jonah and take over God's business, get on a boat or plane going the opposite direction. God already knew. God already knew. What I needed to do is just realize that whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I don't know which one. I need to sow the seed in the morning, sow it in the afternoon, sow it in the evening, and God will give the increase. Amen? And we don't need it. God will prosper what we do. And whether we're still teenagers, whether we're young adults, or whether we are older adults. So the objective is, stop and say, is the seed still in the barn? And then realize that we've got to get out and we've got to plant that seed in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And God will bless us and prosper us. And then there's the challenge of planting the seed, not just getting it out of the ground, but there is there's the challenge of planting the seed in the ground, planting the seed in the ground. You know, we need to realize, brethren, don't think for one moment me or you or any of us will escape God's judgment on this matter. God is going to judge us in a very strong, stern way. And we will give an account of how that we have been sowing the seed. Luke 19, 21 and 22. Now, we know that we need to get the seed out of the barn, get the seed in the ground, and God is going to judge us in a very hard, strong way in doing just that. You know why most people don't get the seed out of the barn? Because they're afraid. Wasn't that the problem of the one talent man? He was afraid. He said, Lord, I didn't take what you had given me and do anything with it. I was afraid. Notice here, I feared you because you were a hard man. You know, we need to sow and then God will bless. Whether we have many talents or whether we have few talents, it does not matter. God will bless us. It does not matter whether we think we're a public speaker or we think I can never do that. If we will sow the seed in some way, God will bless us as we sow the seed. We need to deposit the seed in the ground, and then God will reap the harvest. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, here is something that you and I need to consider this morning. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Don't ever say, I'm afraid, Lord. Lord, I can't do it. I cannot do it, Lord. You know, hasn't God been so good? Brother Howe, I love the singing this morning. How good He's been. How very good He's been. And His amazing grace just touches my heart every time I think about it. I mean, think about God's grace and how that God's mercy is fresh every morning. What are we going to do when we stand before God? What are we going to say to God? God, I was afraid. God, I didn't think that I could do it. God is able through His grace to do it. When Mary and I left the northwest part of Alabama, 45 counties in one county, 45 congregations in one county. And when we went to Winston, I'm sure that I thought somewhat in my mind, how in the world am I going to do this? But we did it by the grace of God and the mercy of God, because His mercy is fresh every morning. And I would never say to God, I can't do it. Because you see, when I came up out of the watery grave of baptism, Brother Stonewall Turner, now do I need to say anything else about him? That's the end of that story. Brother Stonewall Turner, one of our elders at South Haleyville. Now, if you're from Haleyville, you can say Haleyville. That's okay. But anyway, I came up out of the water, grave baptism, and here's this old, stern-looking, hard-faced man looking me in the face, and he said, what are you going to do for the Lord? Man, I said, I'm going to do something. I didn't know what that time. But I just wanted to get out of his presence at that time. You know, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And you will have the all-sufficiency to do all things. No wonder Paul would say in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things. It wasn't a boast. It was, he said, through Christ who strengthens me. You know, God is able. And we can be sufficient in all things. And that means planting the seed in the soil, in the hearts of men and women. And you know what? God will give us everything through His grace and mercy and His all-sufficiency. We can just abound in every good work for Him if we'll get the seed out of the barn. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, Paul would say, now may he who supplies the seed, who supplies the seed? I thought it's me. No, it's not me. God supplies. Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply, and listen to this, brethren, and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Man alive. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you're not no hot shot. You think you're great, you're not so great. Because you see, it's God's seed, amen? It's God's seed that God is going to give you, and if you'll sow it, He'll multiply it, and He'll just increase the fruit of your labors. But the problem is we've got to get the seed out of the barn, got to get the seed in the ground. We can't come to this building every Sunday morning. Part of us come back Sunday night. I don't know what happened to the other part. And then a smaller part of us come back on Wednesday night. I don't know what happened to the other smaller part. Now, I don't understand some are older and some are sick. But we can get the older here if we'll help provide. And then we just come to this building every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And we're not thinking about we've got to get the seed out of the barn and get the seed in the ground. You know, God will multiply. You know, we started with those first five in the country of Kiribati. And now there are hundreds of Christians in the country of Kiribati. And a number of congregations. You see, we need to get the seed out of the barn. And we need to get the seed in the ground. And then there is the challenge of waiting. You know, many years ago, we'd come home on leave reporting. And Mary would get us always first. And then Dan would always get me because he attended a lot of times and spoke most of the time on the World Mission Forum at Forest Park in those days. And I think he did it just so he could talk to me about a lot of things. And I'm thankful for that. Don't think I'm not. But Mary would be the first one because we would start reporting. And me and Steve and Mark and Tanya would get in the car and we'd sit. And we would sit. And we would sit. And finally, I'd start blowing the horn. Jerry started blowing the horn. And she'd come to the door in that beautiful smile and that gentle spirit. She'd say, "And what does patience mean?" You ever heard that, some of you mothers and grandmothers? Waiting. You know, isn't this the challenge for us? Am I right? I mean, well, we're all eager to get the seed out of the barn sometime, get the seed in the ground, but the waiting, we want instant results. Because we can get on the computer and we can think faster than the computer now. And we live in such a fast age that the waiting has become increasingly hard. You know, in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26, talks about the kingdom of God, the church. And I love Mark's account of this. And how he is to go out, the man is, and sow the seed. And then he'll plant the seed and he'll patiently wait. And the seed will come forth. And the blade, and then it'll grow the stalk or whatever. And then it'll be the fruit. Many years ago when we planted gardens, I don't know who plants them. I don't even know where the food comes from since we don't have many planting anymore in most places. But we actually planted. And I love that time of the year, the springtime of the year, and Dad would always get me in the garden. I love the garden. I love being outside because I get away with the books or get away from other things in the house. And I'd get out with Dad in the garden. And on one occasion, Dad plowed an area. And we got the soil ready, and he laid off the rows, and he said, "Son, I'm going to leave it to you. You're going to plant these peas." And he gave me a big bag. He gave me a big bag, and he said, "You can put the strap on you and just go along and drop the peas in the rows. And then just lightly cover it." And he went about his activities, job, whatever, and left it in my hands. Oh, that was a disaster zone. Because I got this great idea. It'd be quicker if I take the peas and just sling them, and then I'll quickly take a rake, and I'll just rake it over them slightly. Didn't I need to tell you that I shelled peas till I was blue in the eyes? I was blue on the thumbs and green. I mean, I thought everything was a purple hull pea, but I'm telling you, they're green peas. And we ate peas of every description. You know, sometimes we need to think about sowing the seed that way. Am I right? I don't mean wasteful. I don't mean irresponsibly. But sometimes we are so conservative in sowing the seed. And then on top of that, we're not patient in waiting. You'll burn yourself out as a Christian and sow in the seed, the word of God, if you don't have the patience to wait. God will give the increase. God will take what you have done and God will bless you. You know, God blessed us with those peas because I really got with it. And Dad was going to really warm the wax up in my ears because he said, "You're not hearing me right." Luckily, my grandmother Martin, who was very kind and gentle and loving since I was the firstborn, then I got petted rotten probably. So Grandma Martin said, "You know, son, he's just blessed us with a lot of peas. And you know, maybe we need to be blessed with a lot of peas in the church. Maybe we need to really get out and sow the seed. But in order to do that, we need everyone actively involved in that. Not just come into the church building, not just come in on special occasions, and then you'll see the joy of harvesting that fruit." In Haggai 2 and 19, "As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not yielded fruit." You know what that tells me? That tells me you got to be patient. Because it's not yet come time for the fruit to come, there's a waiting period. And we need much patience in doing that. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, Paul would say, "But this I say, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly." Now, you believe me, I did not understand that principle in sowing peas. I was trying to get the pea sowing over with in a hurry. That was my only objective. But if we sow bountifully, we will bountifully reap. When are you going to wake up and see the fact that if you're not actively involved in getting the seed, the Word of God, into the hearts of men and women, that you're missing a great joy in life? You're missing God's grace. You're missing God's mercy. You're missing the all-sufficiency that God wants to bless you with. And you're missing the joy. The joy of seeing others put on Jesus in baptism. And others to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. You're missing that. And there's always something that you can do. You could write a letter. You could give tracts. You could enroll people in Bible correspondence courses. You could give someone a DVD. Boy, we've just about blistered the Pacific Islands with a DVD that I picked up here that you got from World Video Bible School, I believe. I mean, we have spent money on getting that into the hands of people till we have run out of the money and we don't have any more money to get any more DVDs out there. And people love it. People come for Bible studies because of it. And it's not a big thing to place that DVD and say, "I'd like for you to take a look at this and to see what you're missing in the unsearchable riches and the joy of salvation." In James chapter 5 and verse 7, James would speak of the farmer. And James would say, "Therefore, be patient, brethren." Do we need to learn this when we're older sometimes? Seems like I stay more on my knees now than I've ever stayed on my knees about patience. And I thought, the older I get, and I get 65, it'll all be there and all my worries are over with patience. You know, we need to be patient until the coming of the Lord. Just like the farmer, he plants, he cultivates, he waters, he talks to those plants, and he patiently waits until the fruit comes. And then there is the challenge, and this is sort of an offspring from waiting patiently. Then there's the challenge of living one day at a time. You know, I'm already thinking about tomorrow. Dan, I still climb through windows after Mary. Don't worry about it. Oh, Dan just about went bunkers on many years ago when I went through a window in between our dining room and our living room in Fiji, or between our dining room and kitchen after Mary. I'd not been with her in about 15, 20 days. Don't you wish we were all that excited about the Lord's work? Don't you wish that? Everybody say amen. Amen? I mean, we need to be excited about the Lord's Word. But then there's the challenge of living that one day at a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I told you how much I love verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But the ministers, and literally it is the slaves through whom you believed. Doesn't that put it down where it ought to be? You know, when we think we're better than everybody else, that we're the best thing God ever put on this earth, we better get alive. We better get alive. We better wake up. Because whether we plant, whether we water, whether we cultivate, whatever we do, we're all just servants by which others believe. You know, Paul would say, I planted. He wasn't elevating himself above Apollos. And Apollos watered, and here's what he says. And God gave the increase. You know, many years ago, I had become so concerned why people were not obeying the gospel in the Solomon Islands. I'd made how many trips into the Solomon Islands and taught days and days on every trip, 14, 15 days on every trip. Brother Ronald Coleman was with me, and Brother Ronald said, you know, Robert, one old preacher told me this. If I'll just plant and water, and if I'll just leave the rest of it to God, I'll be happier. And I'll be more pleasing to God. And God will really bless it. I never have forgotten that. You know what we need to do? We need to plant. We need to plant. Get seed out of the barn. Get it in the ground. We need to wait patiently and live one day at a time. We need to plant. We need to water. We need to cultivate it. And we need to let God get. You know, in the Bible class hour, you remember I talked to you about, for 3 years, I've been studying with these four men, deacons of a denominational church in the Solomon Islands, and lay preachers. But you know what? It didn't bother me. Every time I'm there teaching PIVC classes for 3 weeks or as many days as I can, I'm going to plant, I'm going to water, I'm going to cultivate. And every time I carry another worker with me, they'll say, when do you think they're going to obey? I said, I don't know. Sometimes they look frustrated at me when I say, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know. That's God. If I plant, if I water, if I cultivate, God will give the increase. In Haggai 2, in verse 19, God would say through Haggai to Israel, if you'll get your priorities right, if you'll get the seed out of the barn, if you'll get the seed out of the barn, then from this day forward, I will bless you. You know, maybe the reason the church is not growing today like it did in the days gone by, maybe one of the reasons, at least one of the reasons, maybe is that we don't have the right attitude. Maybe we don't have our priorities right. Maybe we're not sowing bountifully. Maybe it's because we're not waiting patiently and living one day at a time. Maybe we think, well, all I need to do is just come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and my ticket's punched, I'm going to heaven. Don't be fooled. God requires of us to get the seed out of the barn. God requires of us to be, all of us Christians, to be seed sowers. Well, that would indicate within itself where you get seed out of the barn. Plant the seed in the ground, to wait patiently, and then live one day at a time. And if we'll do that, then God is truly going to bless us. In Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, the rain comes down, the snow melts, and it waters the earth, and it makes the seed to grow. Where does that rain come from? Where does that snow come from? See, God is all sufficient. God will make us all sufficient, and God will bless us in all that we do. And if we'll get the seed out of the barn, get the seed in the ground, wait patiently, and live one day at a time, God will prosper that seed that we plant. You know, many years ago, I studied with Mary's mother and father. I don't know how many months, maybe 2 months, we went on with those studies. And Mary's mother obeyed the gospel. Her daddy didn't obey the gospel. He got about 80 years old. Did the seed prosper? Yes. Yes, it did. You see, what we need to do, get the seed out of the barn, get the seed in the ground, wait patiently and live one day at a time. But here's the thing for you and I, we that are Christians. If you're a child of God today, the question is, has the seed found root in your heart? Before you can get the seed out of the barn, before you can plant the seed, before you can wait patiently, before you can live one day at a time, you've got to put the seed into your heart. And has the seed found room in your heart today? Then if it has, will you not come right now and give your heart to the Lord while together we stand and sing?